Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. We are so grateful for all of you all joining us tonight, and we want to just extend this welcome to you all. So welcome for being here tonight, and thank you for joining us. And we are not going to belabor it at all because we are talking the rejection of correction. And let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How is your day going, sir?
My day is going wonderful. What about yours?
The same, sir. Great day all around.
Okay. So did you find it plausible to reject some correction this week?
Absolutely. I certainly did. It was in the vein of kind of what we were talking about last night, that worldly correction that where people are trying to get you together and think about things in terms of the way the world puts it, but it's in conflict with God. So I was able to kind of turn my back on some of that this week.
I think we have a lot of that going on, and it's something that we definitely want to address tonight with the Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. So I hope that we all just take heed to the questions, the email questions that we have from the different emailers. And I do appreciate all the emailers that continue to send the questions because those come in very handy because we get to, you know, scave the surface of the real life stuff.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So with that being said, Ms. Candy, if you don't mind opening us up with prayer, we'll go ahead and get started on the call right thereafter.
All right. Father God, we thank you for everyone who's been able to be here with us tonight. Lord, we thank you for each caller. We thank you for the ones who are listening with someone. Lord, we thank you for every speaker who's going to be speaking tonight, Lord, and we pray over this call right now. We pray that each and every question is answered in a godly manner, Lord, and that the questions are able to help us move forward. Lord, we pray that the word that you've given for tonight is one that continues to help us all grow. Lord, we pray right now that we are approaching this with humble spirits, Lord, knowing that your word is not always what we would like to hear, but it's always what we need exactly for the moment that you provide it. Lord, we thank you in advance for everything that goes forward tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. With that being said, you know, I want to go ahead and bring in our two callers for the night, you know, Mr. DJ and Miss Tiana right away because, I mean, we have a whole slate full of things on tonight's agenda, so we want to definitely get them in real quickly so we can go ahead and start this call off right, y'all. This is the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. Is Mr. DJ there?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, Mr. DJ?
Very well, very well. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. Well, look, we're looking for a little synopsis. You know how you always do. Give us a little synopsis of this past week, if you don't mind.
Okay. Basically, my synopsis of this week's topic, before you consider correction, consider the source. Consider where it's coming from. And definitely, you shouldn't take things that someone else says out of tradition. I'm kind of lose my train of thought when I say tradition. I'm looking for another word. But sometimes people do things because that's the only way they know how. That doesn't necessarily mean it's correct. So once again, consider the source. You know, if it's not in accordance to God, then that's not something that you need to do. That's not something that you need to even correct yourself, you know, on. You can always measure what's right and what's wrong by just staying obedient to the word of God.
Okay. All right. And what about you, Ms. Tiana? Is Ms. Tiana there?
Hi, good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm great, and yourself?
Doing wonderful, doing wonderful. So you mind giving us your synopsis?
Absolutely. Just from this week, I'm just taken back to the scripture that we shared on Wednesday night, just reminding us that, you know, God's word is what's used for correction. And if we keep in mind that God has gifted gifted each and every one of us himself through the Holy Spirit. That word is in us day in and day out. So if we're choosing to not even hear what he's telling us on the inside, how can we possibly understand correction when it comes from someone else? So we always just have to be present. He's given us that gift to know right from wrong, and just be constantly aware, constantly awake of all that is him, so that we don't get caught up in a situation where we're hearing from the world or even hearing from ourselves and ignoring the correction that he has bestowed upon us.
Good deal, good deal. So with that being said, let us go ahead and get started with tonight's call. I hope the two of you are ready so we can get some answers and, help some people out.
All right.
I think that's good. All righty. So you ready, Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir.
Ready, Ms. Tiana, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to start with our first email question. Ms. Candy, do you mind sharing the first one?
Yes, sir. And the first question says, my pastor gave me a, quote, word from God in front of the entire church. While he was speaking, he said something that was a flat-out lie. How could I have handled the situation knowing that he doesn't like to be corrected?
Ms. Tiana, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. Go back to exactly to the word. The word tells us that we have to go to our brothers and sisters in love. And share exactly that. It is, even though he may not like to be corrected, that's not for you to say. It's the word of God that is to drive you in that conversation. So if it is right there that it was a straight up lie, then you need to let him know, and let the pastor be aware of that. Otherwise, then you are not fulfilling on your obligation to God and the obligation to him, because we're all to be corrected, and we all should be told when we are wrong. So do exactly that. Let him know where he was in error.
Okay. All right. Miss Candy, do you mind repeating that question then? I'm going to let Mr. DJ get his answer, please.
Certainly, sir. The question says, my pastor gave me a, quote, word from God in front of the entire church. While he was speaking, he said something that was a flat-out lie. How could I have handled this situation knowing that he doesn't like to be corrected?
Well, first of all, I concur with Ms. Tiana. The only problem, there are two things wrong with that. For him to be the pastor, he's not God. And it said that my pastor gave me a quote. So if you're quoting God, there's no way that he should be telling a lie. But if he did, you know, some people kind of feel like they need to be politically correct in correcting the pastor. I probably wouldn't just blatantly say, hey, that's a lie. But I would speak the truth in a way that the pastor knows that that's not true. And I would simply say, operating in the spirit, the Bible tells me, you know, and I would say the correction of what it is and move forward with that. Now, if this pastor cold-heartedly believes that he's correct, and then that in that quote, and you know that he's wrong and it's written that he's wrong and he's not correcting himself, then you really don't need to allow that person to continue to lead you the wrong way or even lead the congregation the wrong way. I'm not saying just get up there and, you know, jump in front of him and, you know, there's a way to do things. Everything's done. God is a God of order. But for him to sit up here and misquote, you know, if just for example, if he gets up there and says, you know, it's okay to kill, there's a time to kill, you know, no, that's not correct at all. You know, you speak your piece, you speak directly, like I said, with the correction and let it be, because you like you said, you can't go around misquoting God. You can't. You're not going to lie on Him, and you shouldn't be afraid to do that. I mean, it sounds like you would be more afraid of the pastor than you are of God. So you need to be bold enough to, you know, to go ahead and make the correction. Sometimes, yes, we are human, so sometimes you could charge it to the head, not the heart. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, but you shouldn't be afraid. You need to, you know, go ahead and speak up.
Both the answers are good. I agree with both of them, especially what you said, Mr. DJ, about being politically correct in a situation like that. When you have a leader who does not like correction, that can be very challenging. You know, but like Mr. DJ pointed out, and even Ms. Tiana gave, you know, reference to, you got to understand, when dealing with things like that, we got to be much like Nathan, the messenger from God. I can only imagine how David was. King David, you know, Nathan was the messenger that had to correct King David. But he told King David a story. But he didn't come out and just say flat out, you're living a lie. He told him the story.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Right. And that can help him out. With that being said, when we're correcting people, since we don't have a respect of a person, we can't be so bashful in correcting leaders, and then, you know, we are bold when correcting something that we feel is lesser than us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that shows a disparaging difference. With that being said, the same way that you would correct your leader, I know that God would tell you to correct others. Just like you would be so humble to correct your leaders, please be so humble to correct somebody that you think is beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that was the first email question. Good deal. Let's go to the next email. Do we have any callers, Ms. Candy, with their questions prepared or anything?
Not at this time, sir.
Well, I have an email question right here. It says, can a child respectfully correct an adult who is also a parent and should be the parent? I'm sorry. Let me read this again. Can a child respectfully correct an adult who is also a parent, and should the parent receive the correction? Mr. DJ?
The answer is yes. Okay. And I've seen this. I've seen this personally. You know, I know of a young lady that does not truly know God. She's never in the spirit, and she's unfortunately a mother of three. Doesn't do, you know, too much of anything in the spirit. But the child has grandmothers. Thank God for grandmothers that takes that child to church all the time. And the child has sense enough to pray and know right from wrong. The mother would make the child, try to make the child do bad things such as curse, even steal, and the child refuses to do that. And, and to me, that's the anointing on that child. So when the Spirit of God speaks, there is no age. There's no discrimination on age with respect to who's the parent and who's the child. That's, thus says the Word of God. I mean, it's not, you know, do as I say and not as I do. Sometimes, you know, what you're doing is so strong that we can't hear what you're saying. So I say yes, the child can. You know, there's, again, though, there's a respectful way. The child is not so disrespectful to where they, you know, you can't tell me nothing, you don't go to church and you don't know and blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't take all of that. And that's how I know the spirit of that child is natural. It's not a sassiness. You know, you're not getting cocky with it. So I still say yes.
Okay. All right. Ms. Tiana, I'm going to pose the same question. It says, can a child respectfully correct an adult who is also a parent? And should the parent receive the correction?
I believe absolutely yes. And I'm presuming that this question is based off of a child saying a child is a child in the world, a young child. But I'm reminded that a child can also be a spiritual elder. So the child can walk into any situation and absolutely correct an adult who may be a child in Christ, and can do so as kind and respectfully as any of us. So I do believe it's absolutely possible. I do believe that with a child being used by God to deliver a message, God can use anyone to do so. So in that essence, if it's a word of correction, then it's going to be done in a respectful manner, and that parent definitely should, in that essence, receive it.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
Mr. Carr, to the next.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Before you move on, I'm quickly reminded when my daughter was very, very young, I remember talking to her about Christmas. And everything was fine. We was in Walmart, and she went and got a birthday card. And I wasn't really paying attention. I was half on the phone. But I looked in the cart, and I was like, what are you doing? I'm thinking maybe she's going to do like a tea party. She had to be like maybe 3-4 years old, something like that. And so I said, what are you doing, baby? And she said, I'm getting the stuff for the party. And I said, what party? And she spoke up and said, it's Jesus's birthday. How many candles do we need to put on his cake? Mm-hmm. And right then and there, I swore that was not the same little girl. She taught me something very, very valuable right there. And I said, you know what? She has a point. And she was asking, what are we going to get him? All this shopping and other stuff and trying to buy this and trying to buy that. But she reminded me quickly right there the true meaning and the reason for the season. So to me, that was a correction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that and a very respectful correction. Sometimes, mm-hmm. like Ms. Tiana said, the innocence of a child, we as adults, forget about the purity. And sometimes we overlook something that's so simple but yet so powerful, you know.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what it is. Let's get to this next one, okay? This is a good one. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana. Can rejecting correction be a sign of spiritual bondage?
Ooh. Yes, indeed. Yes, it can. And here's why. When I was just sharing what I took away from the week, we all have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the Holy Spirit provides us that if we are willing to receive what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, we're getting correction all day long. We know what's right from wrong. And for those who need a visual image, presume those cartoons that have the devil on the shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. We always have those things are going on. That's us, the devil, the flesh, playing with us, and the Holy Spirit in us trying to tell us the right thing to do. And if we are constantly rejecting what's being guided of us, then we are absolutely in bondage and causing ourselves to be in that position and not releasing what we already have on the inside of us that is the good, the God good. And so, yes, absolutely. Rejecting correction, we can absolutely be in bondage.
Okay. Mr. BJ, same question for you. Can rejecting correction be a sign of spiritual bondage?
I would say only if that correction is coming from God, coming from the Spirit, yes. If it's coming from the source, the right source, yes. Some people reject correction, period, because they always have to be in control. And they're getting things from somewhere everywhere. Mm-hmm. But if it's coming from the right source,
If it's coming from God, then yes, definitely. I would definitely say yes. That's a that is a sign of spiritual bondage. But to be, I guess, in bondage for the spirit is actually to be blissful, being with the Lord. That means you have the right spirit. If you're in bondage, that means that you are a slave to something, that you're locked in and you really can't get out of that. So when you're with the spirit, it's walking a thin line there, but that's where you want to be. God does not force his word on us at all.
That's
you know,
right.
So you know, like I said, I would just say consider the source, you know,
okay, for
that before I say spiritual bondage.
I agree with you, Mr. DJ. Ms. Tiana, I see where you were going with yours as well. I agree with both of you, but Mr. DJ drove it home more specifically because I would totally agree with that. It really considers, you have to take into consideration from whence it comes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're rejecting correction of the world,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not in spiritual bondage. You're just smart. But if you're rejecting the correction of God, yes, we are in spiritual bondage. Something has us, and it's just so happens to be the world, okay? And to drive it home, I want to bring up this illustration, Mr. DJ and Ms. Tiana. You know, that everything that's done in God is done right. You know that loving in God is perfect. You know, love making. Well, a lot of people get mad when I say, if you are not in God, you know, in other words, if you're not married, you've never made love. People get mad.
Right.
Hmm.
So now it's up to that interpretation of what love is.
Hmm.
And love becomes a feeling. Okay? So.
Yes, sir.
So people will reject that notion. Yes, you can make love outside of God. No, you cannot.
Hmm.
That's a man-made love. So if you want to go on to those terms, I guess you can. Here's the thing. Jealousy is not wrong if it's in God, because God is a jealous God. Ooh, that's strong.
Amen.
Strong people. So, therefore, we're not in bondage if we reject the world. Correction. We are in bondage if we reject God. Jealousy is a sin. The Bible says that love is not jealous, boastful, nor rude. Guess who he is talking to? He's talking natural flesh,
right.
Because God is love, yet it turns back around and say God is a jealous God. Now, I thought you said love was,
yes.
Now he's talking to the spiritual mind. Jealousy in God, like lovemaking in God, like money in God, is all good. What I mean by that is when you make money in God, you will never abuse it.
That's right.
Amen.
When you make love in God, you will never abuse it.
All
when
right.
you are jealous in God, you will never abuse jealousy. In other words, to be jealous in God looks like this. Tiana and DJ married. He is jealous in God of Tiana, meaning that he's not possessive, meaning that any spirit that tries to come up and approach his woman, he has the right to defend her. Now, see, jealousy says, Satan, I know you have the spirit of stress trying to come up on her, and because I serve a jealous God, we play for keeps. Stress, come here. Oh, yes.
All right.
I'm going to deal with you. See, we think that jealousy is from person to person, but jealousy in God is spirit to spirit.
Yes.
Y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because we know the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. He's talking to the flesh. The flesh does not have the wherewithal to be angry and not sin, because the flesh operates by an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. What you do to me, I'm going to do to you. But the Bible says be angry. Look at what he says. But sin not. In other words, it's okay to be angry. You can't tell this to everybody, because not everybody is in God. So they would actually perceive spiritual bondage differently. Okay? He says to be angry but sin not. In other words, be angry, but don't let your flesh take over with something called wrath.
That's right.
All right.
Because if God said be angry but sin not, that means God gets angry at us whether you know it or not. But he does not sin.
That's right.
Yes.
So therefore, to reject correction, if it's godly correction, yes, you are in spiritual bondage if you reject God. But if you reject the correction of the world, no, you're not in spiritual bondage. And don't let no spirit deceive you. Because you will have spirits that come up and try and bring the word of God to you, but they're using it for an ulterior motive.
Mm. Amen.
Ulterior motive meaning they're trying to benefit from it and not heaven benefits from it. How you know if somebody's interpreting scripture wrong? If God doesn't benefit from it, they are interpreting it wrong.
All right.
Y'all, the word of God is God, so why would God say something against himself?
That's right.
Amen.
So in other words, take heed to that. And you have the right to reject things because a real spiritual person will actually help you to reject themselves. You know, when Ms. D.D., they say, hey, I might be wrong, but this is my opinion. That don't make it right. What he's saying is you have the right to reject his opinion because that's not the word of God. I respect Mr. DJ for saying that. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I know the difference between the two. All righty. All righty. So any caller, if you have an email question or just a question, star 5 was real quick and we'll get you on. Mr. Candy, do we have anybody with one? Any?
Not at this time, sir.
So, Mr. DJ, here's the next question, the email question that I have. It says that, is rejection a spirit?
Is rejection a spirit? I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
It is a spirit. And the reason why I say that is because rejection has a distinct purpose. It has a definition. It could be defying, but it's also according to obedience and discipline. It's definitely related to discipline. Now, how you use it is something completely different. But I would say, yes, it is a spirit, because there are times that you are supposed to reject. The Bible tells you there's a time that you are supposed to reject certain things, especially of the world. So that is a spirit of discipline, of things that you're supposed to do. But at the same time, when you reject something, you could also be rejecting something that you shouldn't be doing. Someone is trying to correct you. You know, it's like a, I don't want to use the word attitude, but it is a spirit.
Uh-huh.
It is a spirit, and you have to discern when to use it and when to lose it.
Okay. Ms. Tiana, same email question for you. Is rejection a spirit?
Yeah, I've been, first of all, some questions, and I've been here thinking about it as Mr. DJ has been responding. And just looking at, you know, just the definition of spirit, right? And a spirit is definitely a prevailing force, right? Something that leads to a mood, a feeling. And rejection is definitely those things. And just as DJ said, and as we all know, there's two of everything. And whether that rejection is a positive spirit or a negative spirit, it definitely is how we use it and in what situation we use it in. So the answer to me is yes, rejection is a spirit.
And I agree with both of you all. So I'll piggyback off that and say it is absolutely a spirit. Everything is spiritual. The Bible says that, you know, what we see is eternal. I'm sorry, what we don't see is eternal. What we see is temporal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're spirits. Because what happens is Mr. DJ can start rejecting things And it may rub off on Miss Tiana, and she just start rejecting stuff too.
True.
Vice. Mr. DJ can start receiving things, and so will Miss Tiana.
Right.
So it happens to be contagious. It's spiritual. Okay? It is a spirit. All right, here we go. Next email question. I'm going to see Miss Tiana. We have them rolling in back to back. Okay?
Mr. Carr.
Ma'am.
I do have a caller waiting.
Okay. What we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening. I have a question. Is there ever a time that an ungodly person, someone who isn't in God, provides someone who is in God correction?
Good question. Hopefully we'll get some good answers. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana.
They can give correction, whether or not it's godly correction, is, of course, what we have to look at on the table. But that's the, in their spirit and in their, if it's a completely ungodly person, they themselves cannot be given godly correction. If God is choosing to use them in that time, then that could be godly. What they're sharing in that time and it can be God-sent, yes. But other than that, absolutely no, they cannot be given godly correction because they don't know God. They are not knowledgeable of his word, and it's his word that's used to give correction. So it's got to be something God-led, or it is not God at all.
All right. What you have to say, Mr. DJ? I'm sorry, Paula, can you repeat that question one more time so everybody can hear it, please?
Yes. Is there ever a time where an ungodly person, someone who isn't in Christ, gives correction to someone who is in Christ?
Mr. DJ?
Yeah, I slightly disagree. I say absolutely yes, there is a time. God can use anybody, anyone at any given time that he wants to. It could be a fool. It could be an ungodly person. One thing about it, when God corrects you, no matter how, you're going to know it. It comes from God, only God. One thing about God, even throughout the Bible, all of his examples came from things that man cannot perceive. That's why they call miracles. You know, how can a person take five loaves of bread and two fish and feed 1,000 people? Try doing that. You can't feed two people these days with five loaves of bread and two fish. You can't do that. So he's God all by himself. There are people that are not in the spirit and not in God that do things all the time, even if it's just by example of what not to do or to show you, hey, you're getting ready to be like me. You're doing this, and I'm not in the world. So, you know, you need to watch yourself. It worked for you. So why is it not correct for me to do? So before you, godly person, correct me, check yourself. So, yes, I say absolutely yes.
Hmm.
Can I get back in there, Mr. Carr?
Get back in there. Jump back in there. What you got?
hearing the caller reiterate the question, if I'm not mistaken, she said, can a person who is not in God give correction to someone who is in God? And I heard godly correction to someone who is in God. So can a person who is not in God give correction to someone who is in God? Absolutely. But it could be mostly worldly correction. Yes, Mr. DJ, God can use anyone, but it has to be something that he sends for the person in God to really know that that is godly correction. And they should know the word to be able to say so. Otherwise, it's just worldly correction that's being given.
Now, my only jump back, Mr. Carr, is I totally agree. But my sheep, my people know my voice. And it's godly correction because, again, you will know his voice. You will know him. When God used, he could use a donkey to talk to people. There's examples of that in the Bible. So it still can be godly correction. The difference is you know it is, but the ungodly person does not. The ungodly person does not know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. You know, they don't know what's going on. But you as the Christian, you as the godly person, you will know what's going on.
Yep. I think we're in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, say it like this, yeah. I would absolutely agree with Mr. DJ. Tell you why. Someone who's not in God can't correct someone who's in God and not even use godly stuff. Case in point, who did God put a thorn in their side? We just talked about iron sharpening iron. Thorn in the flesh. Huh? Anybody?
Paul.
Wasn't it Paul?
Yes, sir.
He put a thorn in Paul's side. In other words, he used things that was uncomfortable. You know, uncomfortable means unlike me, unlike God. If you, Mr. DJ, love the Word of God, and Miss Tiana is not in the Word of God, don't you know God can use that which is not of him to correct you in him?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Comfort means something I'm familiar with. Uncomfortable is things that you're not familiar with. And it just rubs you the wrong way. When iron sharpens iron sharpening iron, this is why the Bible says count it all joy. Because when you go and do things for like the homeless or people who are less fortunate, stop letting them tell you that you're such a blessing to them. And also correct them and add, don't just let them say you're such a blessing and you'll get puffed up in pride. You need to stop that and say, hold on, you're more of a blessing to me than I am to you.
All right.
Right.
They may not know God, but look at how God uses that which may not know him to correct us. Now, a lot of times we don't know about giving until it's given to somebody who never had God. Now, does that not correct your spirituality? Uh-oh. Don't you say, wow, I never knew that. I never knew they lived like that. Is that not sharpening your Christianity? What God did they say to you? They didn't say nothing but, I thank you. Some of them don't even say, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Did that, come on now, let's walk through this because we're giving answers, right? They never said they knew God. You know they very well may not know God. They may not, don't know. But they never presented God to you. By determining you ain't seeing nothing. So, but it's mighty funny you walk away from that situation and say, God, my God. I didn't know your people was out here hurting like that. Did God not use that which is poverty or less fortunate or homeless to help correct the spirit of? Now when you speak the word of God, you no longer speak of from a place of arrogance. You speak of a place of conviction. Did that not correct the God in you?
Yes, it did.
Hello, somebody.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So to say, this is why we do Monday Night Raw, that God cannot, or he will not, or someone cannot correct someone who's in God, that is a lie. Just because they're in the world don't mean that they correct you. Actually, God is using them to correct you. They don't even know they're correcting you.
Correct.
They don't even know they're correcting you. But to whom much is given, much is required, that means you should know that you're being corrected. God, you don't never put me around people who know more than me. I'm always the one who knows the most. Because he wants you to pour into them. So God will send that which is not. The Bible says a wise man wins souls. So in other words, in order for us to be wise, we got to be around a whole bunch of people who don't know God. Why are you trying to win people who know God? So how wise are you?
All right.
Being said, you understand I don't know about y'all. Let's break this down in the natural. Can a straight A student be corrected by a dummy? Of course. You know why? And I'm saying dummy loosely. Don't take my words, you know, literally.
Right.
So why? Because a straight A student can say, man, so if I get lazy and not study, I can be like that? Sure, I ain't going to be lazy. Look at how that person who doesn't have the knowledge like the straight A student just corrected them and they ain't even know it.
Also, Mr. Carr, for a pastor to get blessed, to get fed, which do you think would be more, for him to preach and deliver the word to a bunch of people that already know the word or to people who don't know the word? In order for that pastor to grow and to gain, for him to be in one, I'm just saying, you know, when a pastor goes to church or to a congregation, he's not going to be preaching to a whole bunch of pastors.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Y'all get it?
Absolutely.
So now we can actually, again, speak about God from a place of conviction and not arrogance. It's great to have people around you that may not be in God, because at one point in time, you wasn't in God.
Amen.
Yes.
So you mean to tell me, because you wasn't in God, you couldn't tell somebody who's in God just about morality? I'm talking about the natural rights and wrongs. You didn't have the authority to do that? Okay. Let us not slide into a category of what the Bible is speaking about. He said in the last days that people will become lovers of themselves. So when I say speaking from a place of arrogance, listen to what I'm talking about. It's easy to speak about the word of God from a place of arrogance when it's about somebody else, and you are the one who in God. See, everybody say, oh, they can't correct me. Now let's flip that thing around, Mr. DJ. Uh-oh. Now,
right.
You the sinner. You the one in the world. You mean to tell me you don't have the right to correct somebody who's in God, especially if they're doing wrong? You telling me that? Just because you don't speak the word of God? Now y'all see? You see how the tables have turned? This is why the Bible says consider yourselves, and I encourage everybody to do that. Stop giving answers because from a place of arrogance, like you are the superior. Give an answer from the place of the lesser. Uh-oh. And I guarantee your response will be different.
That's right.
Because basically, if you say no, like Miss Tiana, if you say no, they can't correct you. That means, Tiana, when you are a sinner, you should shut your mouth. You're nothing, peasant. How disrespectful that was. Uh-oh.
Well, Mr. Carr.
Yes.
No, I'm trying to remember what I said, but I believe I said people in the world can absolutely correct you. And I guess please love this learning, and that's why we're here in Learning Center. And I said that they, more than likely, unless it's something that God has sent through them, they're not necessarily correcting you in a godly manner, but they can correct you.
Okay, and that's, you know, that's absolutely correct. I'm not sure what you said, but I'll take that regardless, you know. So I'll take that. With that being said, it can still be in a godly manner, whether God sent it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says that, you know, the earth is his and the fullness thereof. So nothing happens that God did not order or did not allow. So it just can't come fall out the air and say they want to do it. God either ordered that or he allowed it. Everything has to go through God.
Mm-hmm.
So all the inadequacies, all the, you know, disproportionate behaviors, they still got to go through God.
Also, Mr. Carr, something that you said hits home, because a lot of people who actually want to come to the Lord's side, that's why they don't come. It's because,
mm-hmm.
Those are Bible thumpers. They know this, they know that. I only went to some Sunday school when I was a kid, and I'm just, you know, I don't want to be around them. They know more than me, or they're going to look down on me. You know, that's why true Christians speak from experience of letting them know, hey, I was a sinner too.
Okay.
You know, I'm not just looking down on you. I'm not telling you that I mean, let's just keep it like they say, 100%. Everybody on this phone was not born, you know, holy, sanctified, and you understand what I'm saying? Everybody here has been in the world at least one point, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, everybody wasn't born an ocean skipper. So, you know, it only takes a little longer to come on the other side than us. But, you know, all of us should not be looking down to no one, you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Carla, I hope that helped. I know we got on you. She got lost in translation. She over there?
No, sir.
Okay.
We do have another caller, though.
Okay. So what do we have? Who's the next caller?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
I didn't have a question, but I want to expound on, I think it was Mr. DJ saying, looking down on a person.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am?
What you got? Yeah, what you got?
And so the Word of God says, let the wheat and the chaff grow up together, and he'll do the separating. So we have no business looking down on a person because of the knowledge that we have. It's only because of God's grace that we have what we have. Whatever he's given to us. But just like he revealed himself to us, he'll reveal it to anybody. He said he waits with open arms.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
That's right. There you go.
Oh.
That's what it is. Thank you for correcting that.
I'm not correcting. Thank you, sir.
And y'all, look, let me tell you, correction is hard to receive. Because who wants to be whipped?
Right.
Man, it's easy to do the whipping. But when you get whipped, like, ouch. You know, now that whipping can make us turn angry, bitter, or it can make us get right. In other words, our correct posture. The thing about it is, God chastises, let me translate, God corrects, let me translate, God whips those we love.
That's right.
Okay? So we got to be, this is why the Bible says, train up a child in the way they just go. In other words, when we used to getting whipped spiritually, corrected by God spiritually, when we were older, we would not depart from it. That means a lot of times as adults, the reason why we reject Christian correction is because somebody didn't tell us the truth early.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay? I want somebody real quickly with the Bibles. I'm going to get back to the email callers, okay, and questions. Read for me 1 Timothy, anybody, 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2.
Okay, I have it here, Mr. Carr.
Hey, what you got?
It says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity.
Ain't that something, people?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong. The rejection of correction, Mr. DJ, that's strong. It says, do not address an older man harshly, but appeal to him as a father. Speak to younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with complete purity. Y'all, this is strong. Now catch this. God is what first? He says that he's not a man to where he should repent, so he's a spirit, correct?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Everything is spiritual. Correct?
Correct.
That's right.
Okay. Do understand, because I need us to interpret this absolutely correctly. But he says, do not address an older man harshly. The re- rejection of correction. You know, nowadays, if you say you and God, people are going to start addressing you harshly. An older man, he's talking about the elders. Elders, he's talking about spiritual elders. See, we think he's talking about natural elders. God is a spirit, so he addressed spiritually first, and then natural second. Anybody want to challenge that thought? What was here first, the spirit or natural? It was a spirit that created the heavens and earth. Adam and Eve wasn't even formed yet.
Correct.
So what was here first?
That's right, spirit.
Okay. When God speaks in the Bible, spatteroth, sparta, child, he's talking about spiritually and then naturally. When he talks about marriage, he said that the man must choose the wife. Correct?
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, many are called, but few are chosen. Lord have mercy. Who do the choosing? He's talking about himself. Lord have mercy. Y'all better catch this now.
Come on.
He said that we are his bride. When God talks about marriage, who do you think he's talking about first, primarily? When you work out, there's a primary muscle group and a secondary muscle group. When you do a squat, primarily, you're working your glutes and your hamstrings. Secondarily, you're also working your quad.
All right.
Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Sure. Do not address an older man harshly. Appeal to him as a father. Speak to younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers, and younger, in other words, and you say respect your elders. Even when you have to address your pastor, who's spiritually an elder, who's been in the Word, address him, appeal to him as a father. Mr. Carter, now hold on, you contradicting yourself, because there's been many calls you didn't blast the people and said, why you don't have no spiritual fathers. He said, appeal to him. Keyword, operative word, look it up, highlight it, as a father. He said he was your father. Like the Bible says that walks around as a roaring lion. He said he is one. See, as and is are two different things.
That's right.
You got to count on people because you know they're listening, right?
Simile and metaphor. Teach it.
Come on. Don't go there with them simile and metaphors. That's on another call. We'll get that later. So in other words, you have the same type of respect, in other words.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? See, in other words, y'all, and this is strong, that Mr. DJ and Ms. T understand this tonight, the rejection of correction, the Monday Night Raw, just because you're younger don't mean that you shouldn't be an elder or couldn't be or you're not. Watch this. Who other than Jesus was the wisest person on the face of this earth?
Solomon.
Do y'all not understand that they had older people than Solomon? Look at what God took, the foolishness of God, to reject and to dumbfound the wisest people on this earth. We would say the person with the gray hair who's been here the longest. God said, yes, you're right, the people who have been here the longest, meaning they have accepted my spirit and been in me the longest, so therefore they're old. Yeah.
All right.
Wisdom
right.
Come with age. You are partially correct. It does come with age, but it's not the age that you think. It's the spiritual age. Yeah.
That's right.
You're correct.
Yes.
In other words, just because they're young, and the Bible actually talks about people, you know, don't you get down just because people reject you because of your age. The Bible talks about that.
Come on.
Methuselah. I need y'all to hear this.
That's right.
Come on now. Y'all need to hear this, Mr. DJ. Check this out. Because there's a time, and I've experienced it, and I'm sure other people have experienced, but I've had people say, I don't have to respect you.
Wow.
I'm not talking about people outside of your family. I'm talking about within your family, just because they was your aunt or uncle, or your mother and your father, or your big brother or your big sister. I don't have to respect you. But they were spiritually led. Why would you say something like that? You have rejected God's correction, because as a spiritual being, a spiritual head, a spiritual leader, for you to tell somebody who you think, operative word, since you lean into your own understanding, is lesser than you, Why would you tell them you don't have to respect them? Did you not forget the Bible? Did you not receive God's correction when he says, do unto others as you have them do unto you? So are you not like America in 2017 where they no longer think that a certain race of people is human? So now do you not think that people are not others?
Come on.
When you tell somebody you don't have to respect them, that's a slap in the face to God. Because why would you not respect something that God does?
Amen.
Now, don't use your judgment to say that God don't respect them. That's your judgment. How you know what God respect?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't respect your answer. So you got to be able to receive their correction. See, what happens is, y'all, and this is jealousy in the natural. You do understand jealousy in the natural will cause people to reject the correction of God. Y'all do know that?
Yes.
In other words, the car been doing Sunday morning breakfast for X amount of years, Miss Candy. Who is DJ to tell him something? Who is DJ to tell me? He must be crazy. He said, what? Man, you tell DJ to sit down somewhere. That is foolishness, foolery, and plain old stupid. If that was my thought process. That is foolish.
Right.
Yeah, I'll use myself as an example. Just because I've been in with the Sunday morning breakfast 5-6 years, what does that mean? God promotes who he wants to promote and how he wants to do it. I think let's take it to the scripture, the rejection of correction. So what I'll start to do is reject the word of God just so I can show my dominance over DJ. With no explanation. You know, I don't have to release my taxes because I know I ain't right. With no explanation. We show our dominance and we flex, but you can't. Lord, have mercy. That's why the Bible says the just as well as the unjust. You can't justify that. Mr. Carr can't justify that. He just flexing. But he rejecting God's correction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people, that sound about right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know a lot of times we do that and we don't tell nobody nothing because we don't want them to see our stuff. We don't want them to, you know our error. Hello?
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially if they start throwing the word of God in it. And we whizzle down and we dwindle down and we kind of back up when it comes to the word of God. And we say stuff like, because I said so. He don't have the experience that I have. So who can DJ tell? He can't even talk right. And then God tapped me on the shoulder and say, you can't talk right either. And I accepted you.
Jeez.
The rejection of correction, people. Huh?
Yep.
I'm telling you, you got to be very careful with that. Very
sure.
careful. Because some, see, jealousy has set in, and because, you know, Mr. Carr went to school for 4 years, DJ, who are you to tell me about anything in ministry? Now I've been doing this for 4 years. I went to school. And God bless who he wants to bless and how he wants to bless him. Can I give y'all an example? Good. The parable in the Bible. Remember the Bible says the man, Miss Candy, you know, who owned the land, the farmer, and he hired one at 8 a.m.? I'm just using 8 a.m., you know, paraphrasing. Huh? And he said, I'm going to pay you $200 a day from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. He hired the second one at 10:30 and said, I'm going to pay you $200 from 10:30 to 5 p.m.
Right.
Huh? This one came, he said, I'm going to hire you from 12 to 5. And then here come old Mr. DJ. He come at 3 p.m. and God said, I'm going to hire you from 3 to 5 and pay you $200 as well. Everybody mad because how can DJ work 2 hours and get 200 and we had to work all day? But who are you to question the one? Did you not receive yours? You agreed to it, so why are you jealous? In other words, people will start to reject the word of God. How do you reject the word of God? As soon as you start complaining. This is why the Bible said no complaining and no murmuring. Uh-oh. I don't think y'all caught that. Complaining is when you do it out loud. Murmuring is when you do it under your breath inside your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, some.
That's right.
I got you, Mr. Don. I know it's... Y'all hear you? Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Carr, can I say one thing?
Of course.
And just as well, actually, it's two things. One, this topic has clearly defined the whole problem with the educational process today. And a lot of people don't catch that, but if you are a teacher, you know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of rejecting correction when it comes to kids having problems not learning, being left. And then you go home and you see the parent. Now you know why they act that way. The second thing I wanted to say was a better example. There were two preachers. One preacher is an ordained bishop and got 20,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
And people come there, and people are paying money, which is, you know, why he's able to have a building that can hold 20,000 members. But you may have a few people to get saved. There's another guy. We don't call him a preacher, but he has a phone service. And he doesn't have a building that holds 20,000 followers. But the souls that he is reaching, the things that he is doing, he has saved and converted more souls than the preacher that has 20,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I saying?
Amen.
What I'm saying to you is correction. Who are you to say that because this speaker, pastor, bishop, whatever title you don't want to call him, is not a man of God and a preacher because he didn't go to the same school and training that you are? He's being led by the Spirit. So which one do you think God will more than likely say, well done? You know, the one that doesn't have those certifications and saying, hey, you know, I appreciate you telling my people the correct way and living right and doing what you're supposed to do, or the one that has the paper according to man.
Come on,
I'm going to just keep it right there because you already see where I'm going with that.
Amen. Amen.
That's a word, y'all. That's what it is, the rejection of correction. We have accepted man's diplomacy and not God's diplomacy. Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The God's honest truth. That's the God's honest truth. You know how many people I had told me, spiritual people that I respect. Yeah, but you still got to go through the, you know, you still got to get licensed through the state. I don't got to get licensed through what state? Telling me the word is less valid? I don't need to get licensed through the state because I ain't trying to collect no money. You tell that to people who are trying to collect money. There you go. Until my Bible tell me I got to get licensed through a state, guess what? You cannot correct me. I'm going to tell you why. Psalms 1:1. So somebody saying, see, there he go, being stubborn. No, it's okay to be stubborn when you're in the Spirit of God. In other words, the Bible says the uncompromising word of God. That means I am stubborn. If it sounds like the world, I am stubborn. I'm not receiving it. And you have that right. As a matter of fact, you better. Because if God's word is uncompromising, if it lives in you, you better not compromise.
Yes.
That's Psalm 1:1. The Bible said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Counsel means advice, teaching, correction. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the correction of the wisdom of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, of mockers, people. You are blessed when you don't walk amongst them and let them advise you and teach you. The people in the world. See, there's something called carnal Christians. In other words, they're talking about God, but they're living like the world.
Huh.
You got to be very careful.
That's right.
With that people. Because you can easily receive their correction. Because those people are like the middle class. It's more middle class than anything else. Those are going to be the people who got the word of God down packed. Huh? But they always going to say, oh, but if God came today, I ain't ready just yet, but ain't nobody perfect. They always throwing other people in the bucket with them to fry.
All right.
Okay. If somebody tells you something outside of the word of God, you need to turn your back on it. So much so, the rejection of correction, God turned his back on his own son when he was on the cross because he became sin. That means because you became sin, I turn my back on you.
All right.
Now, if he turned his back on his own son, how can we not turn our back on foolishness? Correction that's not of God. We have to stand our ground. You don't have to be in Florida to stand your ground. It is God's law.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Stop letting people thrash or dump their ideologies on you. Okay? They can't explain it. And then they'll start to say, well, everything that God talk about ain't in the Bible. But I told you, it don't have to be in the Bible. But watch this. If it does not benefit God, yet it benefits them. Huh? And see, and when I say benefit them, that's not an immediate benefit. Benefiting them is pulling you away from God because you were so close and you was about to have your breakthrough. It don't necessarily mean that it's going to benefit them naturally right now, but the benefit is also seeing you hurt because hurt people like to hurt people.
Okay.
All righty. Good deal. Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana, thank you so much. Okay. For every caller, thank you, you guys, as well. Now what we want to do is go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ, if you don't mind.
Yes, Father. Thank you for bringing us together again on this call, Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy for waking us up, Father. Please grant us traveling grace and mercy as we travel and live our daily lives. Help keep us on the path, not to stray. Father, we want to bless everybody under the sound of my voice and say thank you for our leader, Father. Thank you for us being spiritually fed and for us to be humble enough to receive it, but yet strong enough to perceive it and to go out and keep your word, Father. And also, Father, we just want to say thank you for the spirit of listening. That's very, very powerful, and we thank you, Father. Hopefully something said has been installed or bestowed in us to where we can have other people feed off of it and be that example. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great
Amen.
Night. Make sure y'all catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.